this is the center of one's life. Right here is the center. And what we're doing is to move from where we're human out there. We are human out there in appearance and in fact. I mean, my humanness is there in the mirror, in you, in your camera. And everybody is seeing Douglas as human because they're there, where I keep my humanity. But here I don't keep my humanity. I keep my humanity about a yard away from here. And this is not my humanity, it's my divinity, which it means that it is imperishable, unlimited, absolutely empty this way, absolutely full this way, and awake. And that is my divinity at the center. The center of everyone's life is this divine reality. In very good nick and perfectly good health and condition is the center of your life, the origin of the world. And here we come home to that from our humanness. We take a 1 meter journey from our humanness there, which is present, where we are eccentric, in fact. We take the 1 meter journey back to the place we never left. And we live out there, don't we? We're eccentric, living out there, looking at ourselves and saying, oh dear, or whatever, what does she think of me? What does he think of me? I'm looking at myself through David's eyes and Virginia's eyes. We're out there looking at ourselves and awarding ourselves a meatball here for keeping the world up out with. But come home and you trade a meatball for a universe, which is good business. And this is a tradition. And you say, well, why the face? I mean, this throws light, for example, on Zen Buddhism, because Zen says the whole secret of the enlightened or liberated free life blessing is to see your true face. Your true face, your original face. This is my acquired, this is my original face, the face I had when I was an infant. This is my true face. The empty face containing the whole world. This is my acquired face. And Zen says the whole art of life is to shift from your acquired face, your original face. So it is deeply traditional. It's not some newfangled, cooked up piece of English eccentricity. Well, eccentricity is there, not here. It's the overcoming of eccentricity. And this is the place we never left. I mean, we come back to the place we never left. Because you always were here. But we went out on a limb. And we're out to lunch. We're out to lunch, you see. And we come home to a very fine lunch. All we're really up to, surely, is just being natural. Not being funny people, not doing anything special. But just being the way we are. That's all. Just being the way we are. And we are all living from this. We're not living from that. That is out there. We're all doing it right. We're all living from this, aren't we? It's not. We are not advocating that we should change radically, but that we should wake up to the way we are. Everyone is operating from this one. You can't operate from this one. It's too darn far away. Anyway, it's too thin. You're all behind glass. Look, you've got no substance. We're all operating from this one, and we're all doing it right. We're all operating from our divine nature, which is boundless, and we just don't notice it. But we've, unlike any animal or any infant, we've gone crazy. I mean, infants are not crazy and animals are not crazy. They're all living without question from their resource, which is infinite resource in this direction, who they really are, infinite resource. And only humans cut themselves off from their resources and go and live, pretend to live a yard away from themselves, a meter away. So we're a lot of darned eccentrics cutting ourselves off from our infinite resources. So what we're doing, come back to the place we never left and tap, I'd say, those resources and live from them and find the love which is built in to the true nature of ours. Because we are built for loving, aren't we? We're built for loving. We're not built for... This one is built for keeping things out. This one is built for loving. Open, absolutely busted wide open. So it's such a sad thing when in the third stage we deny this one. It's incredible, isn't it? We should just deny that one. Crazy. No animal does it, no entrant. And what is the secret of the know-how of birds flying in the air? Why, I've seen hundreds of birds flying around. They never have head-on collisions. How do they manage? Not got no rules of the road, you know, the extraordinary wisdom and expertise all around the world, drawing on these resources. And isn't it amazing that we should really, of choice, identify with the one who is our who puts us in death row and places us under sentence? This one is limited, one sitting in the condemned cell there. That we should choose that one. I say, if you want to be efficient at anything, I say, you've got to know your tools. And I would say, everything I do, I don't care what it is, everything I do under the impression I'm really that little one is I make a comparative mess of. And what I do from the big one is better done. Don't say it's well done, but it's certainly better done. I think perhaps the most practical and moving essential message of it to me, in a way, is that when I put something here, I say keep out. It's a rejection of you. I said keep out. It's like a smack in the face, and it is. It says, I don't need you. I'm not going to let you in. And it just is ruinous. I think for personal relationships, it's a sad, mad, and a very rude thing to do. Keep out, I've got one. We are built, absolutely built open. We are busted, glasnost. We are busted, wide open, absolutely busted, wide open, for each other. And this is a splendid thing. And this is not for thinking about for me, it's not for understanding, it's not for thinking about, it's actually for seeing. And that's what gives it the power for me, Donald, is not a concept, it's not an idea, it isn't even a feeling, it's just a vision. It's right, direct perception that we are built for loving and not built for confrontation. You've never been face to face with anyone in your whole life. Never. It's always been face to face, hasn't it? Never been like that. Always like that. So it's not a case of reforming ourselves, becoming nicer people, better people. It's just a case of seeing the way we're living anyway. That makes a big difference. Yes. We have a responsibility to tell the truth here. And I say who we really, really are is the one that has free will. This one is in every way bound up, conditioned in every way. This is the one that has free will to be itself in you.
But this was unconscious.
That's right, it's unconscious. Not
came from unconscious.
It's unconscious. It look, it's too thin to be emaciated, really. I mean, really, behind glass and so on. This is the real one. And this is the one that has the freedom, free will, because nothing here to be conditioned. This is the unconditioned freedom. A sense of freedom is remarkable. Yes. But this one is bound hand and foot in every respect. Genes, chromosomes, blood chemistry, culture, language, everything, you name it, is the conditioning, this one. But this one is unconditional freedom. Well, this is freedom. This is freedom. The only freedom, I would say. And we have another thing of pointing. To this place, which is, if you could we just try that one and point to the big one, you know, the one we've been looking at, you point to that one and you see that on present evidence, when you don't think about it, just look, we are pointing at the big one, which is empty absolutely, and goes on and on forever, and has no boundaries, totally empty in the direction we're pointing, but totally full in the opposite direction, full of the scene. And so it's absolutely empty, absolutely full. It had no boundaries, you see, it had no boundaries. Up and down and behind it, no boundaries, and it is wide, wide awake. Now that is who I really am. That one which is awake, which is conscious, which has no boundaries, which is absolutely empty and absolutely full of the world. And that'll do, that'll do. I mean, for me, that's just simply another description of the indwelling God, really, the God, the indwelling Buddha nature, God, Atman, Brahman, Kingdom of Heaven, Holy Spirit, whatever you like. It is absolutely on show, absolutely available. Now, what you're observing, all that is absolutely limited. You know, everything, every object is always limited, conditioned. I mean, whatever it is, whether it's a thought or a feeling or percept, anything from a star to a shirt button. I mean, it's all limited stuff, isn't it? And all your personal stuff, that's all limited stuff. But you are the enormous, boundless capacity for it. It's always changing, and it's not you because it's always changing. And you know, a lot of it is pretty crummy, but then you see it's not you because it's a program. You're the screen without boundaries, that's all program stuff, keeps changing. And some of it's a pretty crummy program, perhaps. I think the thing is to distinguish, as it were, the screen from the TV screen from the program. You are the screen which is boundless, namely awareness, which has no boundaries. You can see it had no boundaries in all directions. You're that screen. Now, on that screen is a very, a wild westerner, perhaps, you know, program, soap opera going on all the time, and it completely, the screen, which you are, the I am, it totally, you don't, you know, after you've looked at the shoot up on the box, you don't have to repair the box afterwards. See, you are free, you're uninjured by the program. And who you really, really are is unchanging awareness. This one. But it's got a lot of content, very rich content. But see, this is the one we've denied. We all know about the content, but we deny this one, which is the who we really are. And all the great mystics of all the great religions, one way or another, really the ones who knew their stuff, certainly the very great Christian mystics say that the centre of your life, right at the centre, which is exactly where you are, and you know, where I am, right here, the centre of my life is not Douglas at all, not the human being, no thing, but the awareness, capacity, the infinite awareness, which is the origin of things, the destiny of all things, the meaning of all things, the awareness of all things, and that's who you really, 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 really are. And you see, it's so visible. It's accessible, isn't it? I mean, what are the characteristics of this one? I'd say, first of all, it's absolutely right here at this time, right here, nowhere else, right here. And it's right now, it's not in the past, it's not in the future. So it's absolutely right at this point here, this indwelling deity or whatever. It's right here, and it's right now, exactly at this moment. You can't remember it, you can't anticipate it. It is boundless, and I see that it's absolutely, this way it goes on and on and on forever and ever. It's totally boundless. I see it, I don't understand it. It's boundless. It is this way, it is completely empty, you know, like that. Completely empty this way, completely full that way. So, absolutely specklessly, boundlessly, clear here, and this way, full of the whole world. And the last thing is wide awake. Never anywhere in the whole world will I find awakeness but here. That's where I find it. Now, so we actually see, we don't understand, At least I don't understand this. I actually see the presence of this indwelling majesty with these characteristics. So all these things that we were expected to take on board or seem to have to take on board, believing all sorts of things we've had difficulty in believing, creeds and, you know, difficult things, six impossible things for breakfast, as Alice said, all that is replaced, I think, by just a simple, direct inspection. It's available, obvious, given. All those things which we were asked to believe, they're no longer for believing, they're for viewing.